Thank you, Tom. We appreciate those kind words and gracious thoughts about my involvement. I couldn't help but think earlier I was one of the contributing young persons who put some sand inadvertently in the old school bus from years ago. So whoever cleaned it out after we went to the Indiana Dunes, thank you for, I'm sure I had all kinds of sand on me at that time. So a lot of memories. I talked to my grandson Reese last week. He's 7. We were doing the video chat, and he said, "Grandpa, you know what I got for Christmas?" Sorry, Reese, I don't remember what you told me, but he told me what he had, his present, and how excited he was. And then I said, "Hey, what'd you get for New Year's?" "Whoa, what was your New Year's present?" I didn't get anything for New Year's, Grandpa." I said, "Oh, yes, you did. You know what you got? You got a brand new calendar. You got a whole new year ahead of you now." "Oh, Grandpa, you know, kind of one of those, yeah, sure." So today you're like 5 days in, right, to this new calendar. And I'm guessing that you've already blown it. If you're one who participates in that tradition of, you know, a New Year's resolution, I want to start a fresh calendar, want to do something new, change my life, kind of get in the groove and get back into. Perhaps, I hope, it's been a goal of yours, maybe not this year, but in past years, to, you know, what do we say as Christ followers? Get into the Word more, read the Bible more, let God's Word influence us more than it has in the past, even if you're not a Christ follower or a Christian. My self-imposed goal for our time this morning, I'll just be up front, is hopefully to get you more into God's Word than you were last year in this coming year. If I can motivate you to do that, if I can give you some kind of tools that would give you instruction to do that, whatever it is, I would like this time for us to be called Get Excited About God's Word time together this morning, for good reason, for many good reasons, some of which I hope I can touch upon. I'm just going to hold this Bible and talk about why and all that. And so it's important that we renew that. You've maybe been acquainted with God's Word in the past, and I know the difficulty if you're 5 days in and you've already blown it. I know. Maybe you've set the goal of reading the Bible every day. Maybe you've set the goal of understanding it more. Maybe you've set the goal of, "I want to read through the entire Word of God," and just haven't accomplished that yet. Maybe you want to be able to embrace God's Word in a way that would cause you to, you know, your life to change because of it, and you're struggling with that. I've been there. I've done it throughout my lifetime. And I know all the reasons. I know all the excuses. I know all the obstacles, what they are, right? I don't understand this. This word is, these words are archaic. They're ancient. They're unfamiliar. I have trouble understanding what I'm reading. It's boring. It's just so boring. I can't stay with Leviticus very long. And some of those, I can't pronounce the names, half of the names, more than half of the names, can't even pronounce. I don't understand what I'm reading. It's difficult. Yeah. All those things are challenges for us. But on the other hand, we live in an age when all of those things can be refuted, honestly. The challenge is that we have the Bible in so many more forms today than we've ever had in perhaps history. You know, we can pull out our phones and come up with various audio versions, dramatic audio versions. We don't even have to open a big, heavy Bible and not read it. We can listen to somebody read it to us in various forms. We can listen to music in Scripture put, you know, to song, which, by the way, is nothing new according to Psalms, right? Isn't that what the Old Testament people did? They sang hymns and psalms and spiritual words to God in the temple. So all of these ways and more are versions, translations, new ways to have snippets of the Bible come to us in art and dramatizations and in motion pictures. And we have all these various ways. I dare say that even in social media, you cannot look and see how people are putting Scripture out for us to scroll through and see in all its variety and ways. And so that's encouraging to refute some of the obstacles and difficulties and, you know, dragging my feet to get this done, you know, of all the things. I have to remind myself that there are at least two or three different steps if I'm really serious about developing a habit and getting more further into God's Word. I can just pray that God would give me that excitement. I can ask God through His Holy Spirit to give me the oomph that I need each day to get out of bed early and to open up these pages and struggle with the understanding. I can ask God to give me that desire, right, in prayer. If I'm sincere in asking Him, would He not grant a request like that? Oh my, I'm sure that He would. And furthermore, we have people that can help us with understanding some of the basics. We have tools that are so much readily available to us. I want to make a plug for one of them. Maybe you've heard of the Bible Project. You can Google that. The Bible Project is an amazing way that some illustrators and teachers have come to put on video snippets, things you can use with your phone, and it just gives summaries and explanations of what the Bible is. They're creatively wonderful and basically very instructive and helpful of how we can rightly divide and consider and look at God's Word. So, are you encouraged yet? Even just a little bit? Want to move in the direction of a little bit more than what took place for you last year? I want us to rehearse in light of this assignment today that there's a few things that could further encourage us or instruct us or give us motivation or some substance to this desire that I know you have, but maybe have not yet turned the corner on. Or maybe you feel nudged to, by the way, I know that some people have practiced this for many years. And here's a thought. If you could do something more than you did last year, maybe you would begin to not just read God's Word, but even study it. Take that step to study what you're reading. But even more than that, if you're studying it, why don't you even take a third step? Maybe begin to memorize some of it. Do you know what happens to things that we have by our heart? You know, we call memorization knowing something by heart. Isn't that true? Well, there is something about God's Word that is spoken of in His Word that's called meditation. Now, meditation not in the sense of, getting in the position and, you know, doing that meditation. But meditation directly from God's Word means chew the cud or mull it over or think it over. And if we in our minds know by heart the content, some of the words of Jesus, right, the red letters, or some of the memorable sayings, some of the truths that are inherent in here, what if we knew them by heart so that even when we go to bed, as the psalmist says, my heart instructs me? How many of you have ever gone to bed after watching a horror movie? Or whatever you watch, or whatever you put into your brain before the hours of going to bed, and then you're restless or have nightmares, or there is something about our sleep that is being instructive of what we've put into this computer here. And if we have the words of God in our heart, even when we sleep, He's instructing us and motivating us and causing us to dream of those things that He has given us in His Word and the message. What a beautiful thing to be able to do. And so whatever we've done last year, can you step it up? Can you allow yourself? And I hope I remember at the conclusion this morning, there is reasons to do this. Some very good reasons. Not just to have Bible knowledge and win at trivia. Surely not, right? What good is a simple knowledge of information nowadays anyway if it's not put to use, if it's not for a means to an end? The Bible can be a means to an end for us in that regard. Well, here's the first thought that can lend itself to nudging you forward in this new year, okay? Let me say this, that, and you might jot this down, the Bible is both divine and human. It's divine and human. It's divine because God is the author. It's divine because he inspired it. You know, Paul said in Timothy, right? When he wrote to Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed. He breathed it out. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Some of those ends to the means of why we would even consider God's word. And so God's word is inspired in the sense that he's the author and perfecter of our faith, as the Hebrew writer says, right? So the content is the revelation. It's God revealing himself to us. It's the creator of the universe who says, not only have I put out in the universe a message for you, but now I've given you words that you can hold in your hand, that you can understand in your language. I have spoken to you a message that I want to be very, very clear to you. And he did that through human. He did that through human people. He did that through particular languages in a specific time in history that for some reason we call God's inspiring us as revelation. The inspiration is how he did it. The inspiration, the breathing it, was through men. And the cumbersome ways that all throughout history it has been scribes writing in over and over and over again. And those proclaimers, the prophets, speaking oracles out, and the things of the law that the people repeated through oral tradition. It has all come to us in these very specific words, which in and of itself is what we call illumination, in the sense that they're still alive when we take time to entertain them with us. So it's God's message, it's God's messengers, and it's God's illumination. When we take the time, he will meet us there and cause those words to stir in us life. Even as John says in the New Testament, eternal life, lend themselves to eternal life. That's that important. So the Bible is both human and both God. It's the most unique words or volume of words that you'll find in all of history. But it lends itself to understanding the second thing that I would be reminded of this morning, is that the Bible is a story. This is hopefully going to answer those of you who think, wow, chapter and verse and words I don't understand, and it's just foreign. It is foreign. It's old. It's ancient. It's a different time part of history, but it's a story. When you begin to see the landscape of it, when you begin to use some of the tools and resources available to us, when I would dare say, if you took the time and read it every day and skimmed over it in an entire year and did that again and again and again, there's something that I would call the familiarity of Scripture. And when you start to see the broad view of this, you see it's cohesive. You see that it has a story. There's a narrative in there. The story has nothing even short of just the least of which is that God created man, man sinned, and then from that point on, God has done everything in all of history to redeem that and bring it back. And he even gives a picture of how he's going to do that in the future, once for all. And so it's cohesive, and it's a unit, and it's a story. The Bible tells us the story of the way of the world and how it really is. As a story, remember, the Bible is filled with good poetry and music and songs or psalms. It's law. It's history. It's speaking oracles, which became prophecy. It's the life of Jesus Christ and how he was born and came to earth. It's all of these things and more. The Bible has metaphors. The Bible is rich with meaning and parables and teaching and doctrine and all those things. But let's not treat the Bible as if it was just one of those. Let's read the Bible as literature. Let's understand how it's being used to motivate, not just to give information, right? Let's understand that the Bible is used for our guidance and perseverance to the end. As the Revelation says, you know, stand firm to the end, be overcomers. It's motivation, it's cheering us on. The host of all those in the Hebrew faith, the hall of faith, are saying, we're watching as a cloud of witnesses and cheering you on as you consider your daily walk in Christ. It's all of that and more. The Bible is a unique thematic story, and our lives intersect with that because our lives are filled with stories, right? And we intersect with God's word that way. Thirdly, the Bible is God's plan of salvation. From the very moment of creation and the fall, it's been all about, how can I redeem this? How can I bring the seed of my people into the fruition of who the Christ child is? Everything about what God is doing throughout all these authors and throughout all these times and even into today, how his word is illuminated. What is he up to? He wants everyone to come to a saving knowledge of his son, Jesus Christ, for the future of all of eternity. That's God's plan. He is redeeming. He is remaking all things new. He is willing to forgive. He is willing to have mercy. He wants to have grace. He wants to, in his judgment for right and wrong, he has provided ways and plans, and he is long suffering to that end. There is a plan, and it's linear. It has a history. And he's going into a future. And we understand that about God's word. He proves it to us that way over and over again. The Bible is not written to us, but for us. The reason we know it's not written to us is because we don't understand it, right? It's a different language. Different way of speaking, different way of thinking. We don't understand what was going on in so much of the context of when the Bible was written. So we know it wasn't to us, but it is for us. It is for us in the sense that God is illuminating it to us. We can have some appreciation that even though we weren't Jews living in exile in Babylon, wondering if God has completely abandoned us until Jesus came, right? But none of us were even in the first century AD Christians living in Rome or Philippi or Ephesus. And so we have some disconnect in reading about even the early church in the book of Acts. But as God's people, understand this, the Bible was written for us in order to instruct us and empower us in perseverance and in faith and produce hope in the fulfillment of God's promises. It's not written to you, but it certainly was written for you. Yep. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope, Paul wrote. Yeah. What about this? The Bible is God's tool to transform us. Can I throw a couple of three theological terms at you this morning? Yeah. How about justification, sanctification, and glorification? I like to think of those three great big ideas as coming from Scripture in the sense that I have been saved because I've been justified. I am being saved as Christ sanctifies me, as I consider how his words are transforming me and changing me, and I will be saved in the future when I'm glorified. On that great day, that judgment day, that day when Jesus comes back again and he ushers into all eternity, fulfilling the plan that he showed us. Paul's teachings in the New Testament, he says, for the purpose of godliness. Jesus expected us to be kingdom persons, and so in the Sermon on the Mount, he gave us all those instructions on how to live and be considerate. Every letter of Paul began with, you know, what the gospel is, and then it ended with, so now what? How do we live accordingly? It's very practical. James said to be doers of the word, not hearers only. And so there's a reason that the Scriptures, the Bible, is God's tool to transform us. If you in your life want to be better than you are, if you want to be Christ-like, if you want to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, I know of no better way than to If you want to have the mind of Christ, how are you going to do that unless you hear his words repeating it to you over and over and over again? You know, we follow what we hear, what we pay attention to, what we listen to. You know, we're shaped by culture. We're shaped by advertisement. We're shaped by people around us who influence us and all those things. Why not be shaped by someone who made us and created us for his purposes? And if we can do that, we can be, as the psalmist says, and as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, his word is even used to help us in temptation, to keep us from temptation. I'll never forget remembering the Sermon on the Mount and rehearsing it and preaching through it. And there's a little stabbing point when Jesus says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and perform many miracles? And I always heard him saying these words, oh, Lord, Lord, didn't I go to church for all those years? Lord, Lord, didn't I teach Sunday school? Lord, Lord, wasn't I a minister? Lord, Lord, all these things. And then this is the hard part. He says, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers? Now, how can that be? The way that can be is that maybe we've been involved in the Bible, but we've not allowed the Bible to transform us, to make us into what God wants from us. You know, obedience and humility and long-suffering and serving him and his purposes and his kingdom, not our own. And that's what it's for. The Bible shows us the gospel. You know, people have taught me back in Sunday school, back in the day, you know, the Old Testament is Jesus concealed, the New Testament is Jesus revealed. I dare say the entire scripture has elements of Jesus Christ. You know, who was in the fiery furnace with, you know, Daniel and his friends, right? An image or a symbol or a kind of a, it was Jesus. There is a way to look at the Bible Christocentric and see that in Genesis 1:1, when God created, he said, we created. Who was there? But John helps us in that. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. Oh, the Word. Oh, these words. You know, God's message from the very beginning and Jesus Christ, it's all redeeming. It's all hopeful. It's all mercy and grace and his extension of let's make this right again. Let's bring my people back to the garden again. And finally, let's be motivated and let's go forward in our handling of God's word and our intake of it, because the Bible applies to our entire life. Yeah. God isn't interested in just changing how we act. Since God's purpose is to make us perfect reflections of Jesus, he transforms us from the inside out. One of the greatest tools that is available to us is something called a concordance. And you can look at topics. You can find in the scripture ways to be comforted. You can find in scripture ways to be instructed. You can find in scripture, if you want to, you might need to once in a while, you can find in scripture ways to be corrected and rebuked and disciplined. And but it can do all these things for us because it's necessary for us to know that the Bible applies to every part of our lives. It gives instructions. And that's why when we come up with the questions, that's going to be in the next several weeks, my expectation, my full hope, which is a confident hope, is that these words are going to be the answers to the questions that we're raising. And my confidence in Sherm bringing that out is pretty strong. I was going to say I was, you know, expecting it, you know. Aren't you? The best way we can be listeners on Sunday mornings is to be readers during the week. because we can check what's going on. Even how we listen to the radio and other snippets of God's word is going to be confirmed or denied or sorted out by our familiarity with what is in this Bible. We didn't even touch on all the metaphors of the Bible this morning, but I'm so motivated by some of the phrases in Scripture, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you. You know, the Scriptures and metaphoric languages, thirsting. We hunger and thirst for what God has for us. I don't know if I've ever been hungry or thirsty physically, but I know I have spiritually. And it's satisfying to find in here something that speaks to my soul. And we can have encouragement. Now, all these things are to say, is there everything in here that I need? No. There are questions that are unanswered by this book. There is so much more to God than He's given us in this revelation. But there's enough to get us by. There's enough to take us further. There's enough to motivate us and to give us some answers along the way. Maybe not all of them, but certainly enough to keep us going.